Today we're reading from Luke chapter 18, verses 31 to 43. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God.
Hi, friends. Happy to be sharing with you today. As this new season is in front of us, I just sense so strongly in my heart that God has so much for us. We just invite you in to all that God is doing. If you'd like more information on things that are happening, head to our website. Let us know. Our team page there has contact information. We'd love to hear from you as we begin this new season together. Well, we're back in our Gospel of Luke series, and we've been in it for a while. We find ourselves again in Luke chapter 18, and our text was read a few minutes ago. As we heard from our text, Jesus gathers 12 disciples, and he tells them, "We are going to Jerusalem." Road trip. We're going to Jerusalem. Some of you have taken road trips this past summer and have good memories of road trips. There's two types of road trip travelers. Number one, there's the A to B traveler. The trip is only about the destination. The other type of traveler is the trip is all about the travel to the destination. Travel, destination. The distinction can be seen also by those traveling across the Portman Bridge. There's those that are going over the bridge and they are 10 and 2 in it, and their heads, eyes are focused out the front windshield. It's about the destination. On the similar bridge, there'd be those that are doing this, looking at the Fraser, looking at, "Oh, I can see Quarry Rock. Oh, look at the sunset." That the travel versus the destination. As we see in the next few weeks, the trip to Jerusalem was very much about the travel as it was about the final destination, where so much was to happen to Jesus for our good. For example, this week, we will see Jesus delay his trip to Jerusalem and help Bartimaeus. Next week, we will see Jesus seemingly take a detour to meet Zacchaeus and spend a night at his house. The travel is just as important as the destination. In this passage, as we see traveler Jesus en route to the destination of Jerusalem, we see a number of things about Jesus. The first thing is, in order for us to hear and understand Jesus' words, his life and ministry, we have to continually zoom out and see his bigger plan. In this passage, the disciples are on a road trip following Jesus, but as stated in our text, missing the big idea or missing the big story, listening to Jesus' words but not hearing them. And perhaps the reason is that these disciples were caught up in their individual narratives when all the while God had his eye on them. And of course, the big story that was unfolding in the life of Jesus, the Savior of the world. What was lost on them was that they were going to Jerusalem. The kingdom was breaking out and they were in the middle of it. Jesus, the Savior of the world, would soon be arriving in Jerusalem where he'd be arrested, sentenced, crucified, and of course, resurrected. We can easily be found just like the disciples. Certainly, this time of year, we find ourselves in a new season, a new trip, if you would, into a new season. For some, it's new classes, new teams, new lessons, new life groups, all important as it relates to seasonal things which are happening that create transition. But perhaps, friends, one of the most important benefits of being a part of a Christian community, which is one of our values that we hear about this month, is being reminded regularly that in the midst of transition and change, to be paying attention to Jesus, not just listening to his word or reading them, but hearing them. And perhaps the second benefit of Christian community is being regularly reminded to pay attention to God's big story that's unfolding potentially within us and all around us. In verse 46, the travel through Jerusalem slows down in Jericho when Jesus meets a man sitting by the roadside with a great need. He's blind and he's a beggar. As you can imagine, in Jesus' day, there was no welfare or social security for someone like him. It'd be fair to imagine him dressed in rags with an ill-kept beard and perhaps looking quite thin. We read Luke's account and we read a few more details from Mark's account of the same story in Mark chapter 10. The blind beggar's name in Mark 10 is named Bartimaeus. His father's name is Timaeus. Timaeus in Arabic means unclean, impure. In the sense, Bartimaeus' name would mean son of my impure one, which perhaps is in keeping in the general bigotry of those days against those with disabilities. It was thought by many that Bartimaeus' blindness was inherited because of a personal fault or a personal sin or even a parental fault or sin. But in this story, regardless of the labeling, Bartimaeus does not act like a castaway. The story says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth coming by, he began to shout out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." As we read in the story, people around Bartimaeus tried to stop him shouting. From reading this, one might think that he was simply annoying the group. Perhaps, though, this was more of a societal class disturbance. These hushers may have been enforcing normal social codes that a blind man should not be shouting at a popular rabbi. So what happens? Luke 18:39. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." There's no indication here that Bartimaeus would have expected a Messiah to have mercy on him or cure his blindness, but by faith, he asked through the shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Second thing we learn about Jesus here is Jesus responds when we call him by the right name. Bartimaeus said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." With Bartimaeus' better vision, we see what he knows. This was the Messiah, the one who can and does change our identities, our relationships to each other within society, the one who turns social structures upside down, the one who ensures that in the end, the least are the greatest and the greatest are the least. And it is through this blind beggar that we see God's plan for shalom in the world that he was living in and that we live in still today. The blind beggar shouted all the more, and we see Jesus responds to this truthful, persistent prayer. Son of David, have mercy on me. Friends, as we begin this fall, may I encourage you to be persistent in your prayer to God and truly appreciate all that the name of Jesus represents. Imagine with me the potential of a future guided and shaped by persistent prayer. Son of David, have mercy on me. I was so thankful for the group that was able to attend our evening of worship the last Sunday night in August. Gathering, seeking, the title of the evening was Plans for Us. To see people praying, to hear people praying, to see people seeking the Lord, worshiping, and waiting on God for his best as we begin this new season. I was so thankful for that evening personally, and as I observed the benefit in the lives of the people that attended. This past summer, I had the privilege of speaking at a family camp. Actually, the camp's name was called Living Waters Camp, 1 hour north of Saskatoon. During one of the many services, I was speaking about prayer, and I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me to ask for people to share their most recent answers to prayer. Again, feeling prompted by the Holy Spirit, I felt I was taking a bit of a risk, but trusting in the internal narrative and the strong sensing of the Holy Spirit to open up the floor to people to share recent answers to prayer. I had no idea what would come of it, but by faith, I made room. After making the appeal, three people made their way to the front. On my left, there was a teenager. On my right, there was two men. The teenager spoke first of how her most recent answer to prayer was at the end of a long time of praying for her mother's salvation and praying that her mother's heart would change towards the things of God and actually come to church with her. For at that point, the teenager was attending church alone. She was thankful and in a tearful way, so appreciative of God hearing a prayer and answering a prayer that, as I understood it, that previous Sunday, just 4 days earlier, that mother was in church with her daughter, an answer to persistent prayer. On the right side of me, a man shared how the evening before, after church chapel, he was at his trailer, a campfire, alone, and looking at the stars. It was a dark night, and the stars were on full display. And much to his wonderful surprise, he actually saw a shining star, a falling star, that illuminated the sky. To me, it sounded a bit more like a meteor shower, but he described it as a falling star. He was so moved to think that in that moment, it became very spiritual to him, for the heavens were declaring the glory of God, and he was found himself in a worshipful, prayerful moment. His prayer, because of how awestruck he was and how it caught him by such surprise, he prayed, God, would you do that one more time so that my family could benefit from you displaying your glory in the heavenlies. The family gathered around, and much to his wonderful, faith-filled surprise, he saw another falling star right on the heels of that first one. He'd never seen anything like that, and together they worshipfully declared the glory of God, for even the heavens declare the glory of God. The third man shared a story of how he came to chapel the night before with many questions about his future job and his tenure. And somehow through that evening, a scripture was shared that spoke directly to him about him staying where he was presently working and that he actually had tenure in his future and that he was at the right place doing the right thing with the right people the right way. He had confirmation about where he was at in his future. Three stories of answers to prayer, persistent prayer. The next day, Julie and I caught up with a lady who said, "I was too shy to stand up and share my most recent prayer." The day before, she felt prompted to pray for the safety of her son and the security of her property, for her son was not at camp. Her son was still at her home. She prayed unusually for the safety again of her son and their property. After completing a prayer, her phone began to buzz, and she was receiving notifications of a security breach within her home. She quickly called her son, who made his way down the stairs to answer the phone, and upon picking up his phone, he saw coming up from the basement an intruder. The son startled the intruder, who ran out the house and was in a few hours arrested in their neighborhood for break and enter. Persistent prayer. God answers the prayers of people who call upon him for themselves, for the supernatural, and on behalf of other people. Persistent prayer. Can you imagine a community that would be enlivened and shaped by persistent answers to faithful prayers? Friends, I believe God has that for us in this next season ahead. I would imagine on any given day in the life of Living Waters Church, a same question could be posed to our congregation, perhaps during an in-person service here in Fort Langley, to tell us the stories. And friends, how enlivened becomes the Christian narrative when we're engaged in regular, persistent prayer, just as Bartimaeus was, and we're seeing God act on our behalf. I believe every Christian is at their best when testifying to a living, a life guided and shaped by prayer, and we as well as a community sharing in a future guided and shaped by our personal prayers. So what did Jesus do with Bartimaeus' request? Verse 40 says, Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. In Mark's gospel, it's recorded this way. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. The third thing we see about Jesus is that he is still calling us by name. Perhaps we see in the story what the Christian journey is mostly about, as stated by Mark, cheer up, on your feet. Jesus is calling you. What an invitation for this next season in your life and the life of our community. Mark describes in detail in verse 50 what Bartimaeus does. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. Historians tell us that this cloak was an important piece of clothing. Easton's Bible Dictionary defines the cloak as an exterior tunic, wide and long, reaching to the ankles, but without sleeves. The cloak served as an outer garment, as well as a blanket at night. It was also believed that for blind Bartimaeus, the cloak was essential for him to collect alms for the poor. But when coming to Jesus, Bartimaeus leaves the cloak behind. Some commentators believe this was a sign of faith. He believed Jesus would heal him, and because of that, he would no longer be blind. Therefore, there would be no longer a need for the cloak and all the identity associated with the cloak. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. The fourth thing we see about Jesus is that Jesus asks people the same question today, and God answers prayers that are specific, as we saw in those four stories I just shared. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, for your faith has healed you." Verse 43, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. The fifth thing we see about Jesus, 5 of 6, the fifth thing we see about Jesus is that Jesus makes all things new. Today's gospel story tells us explicitly that Bartimaeus' faith was what made him well. Jesus did not claim personal credit for the miracle. He didn't say, I made you well. Rather, Jesus says, your faith, Bartimaeus, has made you well. It's very profound. Scripture does not tell us to wait around passively for God or Jesus to do something magical for us. Coming to faith is work. And in this, we believe and we receive and we become something as we allow God to do that supernatural work in us. In the last number of weeks, we've made reference to Romans chapter 12, verse 2 in the New Living Translation. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. In this story, Jesus made Bartimaeus a new man. Now, we know the Bible doesn't give us all the details in any story, but we do know that the Bible doesn't mention Bartimaeus going to pick up his cloak before he followed Jesus. Rather, I would study to think that Bartimaeus walked away from his all-important cloak, a cloak which represented his identity, his security, his belonging, because Jesus had made him a new man. And that certainly is the heart of Jesus still today, to make us new. And again, this new is not something that you know or anyone else knows, but we need to allow Jesus to make us that new. What a great invitation for this fall. And finally, Jesus' invitation to follow always leads us in community. It was said, immediately Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. We can picture Bartimaeus getting up and joining the group, filing into Jericho and on their way to Jerusalem. A very pliable picture for all of us as we begin a new season together. Meeting Jesus means being given sight and joining a group to move towards the unknown, but yet the known by Jesus. So friends, in closing, as we begin this new season, perhaps I would remind you very simply what Jesus said to Bartimaeus. Cheer up. On your feet. Jesus is calling you. There's joy that Jesus has for us. There's a repositioning and a newness of life. Let's get up, for Jesus is calling you by name today into his beautiful future, a blessing upon our lives.
That story out of Luke's gospel is always so moving. The crowds shuffling along, inattentive to Bartimaeus on the side of the road, and Jesus hears him calling out and gives him his attention, asks him what he wants, and Bartimaeus swings for the fences, and Jesus makes him see, and then they head towards that new future together as the people of God behind Jesus. Bartimaeus, welcome. As everybody is welcome. Such a powerful story, and such a powerful story to reflect on for us, and how we identify with that character or other characters in the story. Let's pray and reflect on that together as we close and as we go into this new week together. Jesus, thank you that when we call out to you, you hear us. Thank you that you're attentive to us, and that you lean into us, and you're always on hand to listen to us when we call out. Thank you for what you give us, healing and life and light and sight. Lord, as we go into this fall together, as we're following you into the unknown, we pray that you'd give us straight paths, that you would give us clarity of future, that you would build in us your character through your Holy Spirit, and you would help us to be the people of God, the children of God, brothers and sisters in Jesus, following along, watching you closely, loving each other with intention, as a picture of what your family can be for the rest of the world. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. We recognize that you are our focus. You are the one we follow, and we pray that you'd help us to follow you well this week together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, have a great week. We'll see you around. If you have any questions or want to get connected to the life of the church, never hesitate to reach out. You can find all information on the website. I'm Luke. There's other pastors who'd love to chat with you. Just reach out and we'll go from there. Have a great rest of your week.